Shoes. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Geocaching Podcast. This is Cacher Coffee. We're going to be kind of just having a roundtable kind of open discussion with everybody in our chat room today. It's also our one-year anniversary of the podcast, Geocaching Podcast. So this is our one-year anniversary show. I want to remind anyone who is listening live that wants to join us, our phone number is 724-444-7444, and our Talkcast ID is 7525. And we'd love to have you in the chat. So with that, let's get started. I want to remind everyone, too, that since this is an open show and we are just going to kind of have everyone unmuted, that to keep your comments, this is a family-friendly show, so try to watch your comments and keep them to G or PG so that, you know, people with kids that are listening don't need to run to the mute button and mute it. So with that, just keep it family-friendly. And also, since it is an open room, if your mic gets kind of loud, I'll go ahead and mute you and then try to unmute you again later. And if I can't do that and it still stays loud, I'm going to go ahead and just, if you want to talk and you're in our chat room too, go ahead and press the next to talk or, you know, request to talk, and we'll get you on the show. So with that, my hosts, the kind of hosts, I guess, leaders or whatever you want to call for this tonight's topic, Daryl and Monty Ryder, welcome to the show, guys.
Glad to be here.
Hello. Good to be here for one-year anniversary. I like that part.
Yeah, it is good. We're just going to kind of have a discussion here. Like Daryl said before, it's going to be just an open topic. You know, we're going to have a few things to talk about. We're going to try to stay on topic as far as caches go. So, or as far as caching, since this is a caching show. But there are some topics in here we're going to talk about tonight that may not be necessarily caching related. And at the very, very end of the show, we're going to give away a geocoin. So with that, our first topic is what we're drinking tonight. Since we were talking about our coffees and, you know, it was kind of our cacher coffee thing. Daryl, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I just roasted some Colombian decaf coffee about 2 days ago, so it's at its prime, and that's what we're drinking. Nice and smooth.
Daryl, you're breaking up a little bit there. So anyone else want to just chat in? Just go ahead and feel free to chat in at any time with this. So I'm drinking red rosebud tea that I just got from China. Anybody else have anything they want to put in what they're drinking tonight, if they're drinking anything tonight?
Andy,
good old-fashioned water.
Andy, this is PK Dad 1 from Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And first of all, congratulations on your one-year anniversary. I am having some Celestial Seasoning Sleepy Time Tea. It's one of my favorite evening teas. It's decaf. I got plenty of honey in there with it. So that's what I'm drinking.
Cool. So, Montu, I think I heard you chat in there. What are you drinking?
Good old-fashioned water.
That's always a good thing. Anybody else want to try this, Jim?
I was going to say, I've got my usual can of Dr. Pepper with me tonight.
Sounds good. Anybody else? All right. Next in our little topic thing, I guess, is milestones reached. And I'll go ahead and kick that one off. I think since last time, most people have heard that I hit 100 finally. And so is Monty. And we're kind of actually on the same track here, aren't we, Monty? We're kind of going at the same pace here for our milestones.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be the case. Although this last weekend I got a little bit sidelined with that geo event that wasn't a geo event.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, the Wilderness Preserve, where I have the majority of my caches, every year in March they hold a exhibit they call March for the Parks. And in one section of the park area, they have all these displays set up of different activities, that are available in the park, the hiking, the bird watching, the cycling. Home Depot comes in and they've got some crafts for the kids to build. There's also things about recycling and all sorts of different activities that are available in the park. Well, this year, the park supervisor approached my wife and I and asked us to set up a geocaching booth. So we had a nice booth set up. We had a display of several different GPS receivers for people to see. We had some geocoins and travel bugs and a very good assortment of cache containers, mostly ammo cans, but various sizes from the decon container clear on up to the big 81 millimeter ammo cans. And we had quite a good turnout. A cacher by the name of Javi came out to help us out with the booth. We had printed up about 80 copies of the What's Caching About brochure that you can get from Geocaching University, and we came back with only 8 of those left.
Well, that sounds like you informed a lot of people about caching.
And that was only in 3 hours' time. And also during the event, we were approached by the manager of another park that is having an Earth Day celebration in April, and we have been asked to set up a geocaching booth there. Now, that one's going to be even longer. That one is hours of 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Oh, no, 3 p.m., my wife's saying. So that one, we're going to be out there even longer, so I figure we'll probably pass out double the brochures on it. So hopefully we'll get rid of quite a few muggles and make quite a few new geocachers.
Daryl, anybody else for that matter, anyone else have any other milestones that they've hit recently that they'd like to share on the show right now?
No, but we did think about going out and do some caching. We've been so swamped lately, we haven't had time for anything.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I heard that you're pretty busy at work.
Yeah, yeah, but I do have some news. We will have the next episode of Cachemaniacs out on time.
Well, that's
all
good.
Right.
I was actually just listened to the last one today and was kind of worried that you would not have it out on time.
Yeah, no, I finally got stuff moving again this weekend, so we're good. We actually just recorded the wrappers for the show today, so no problem. It will definitely be out for Saturday morning.
I want to tell everyone, too, that if you're listening to this as a recorded, this is not, and this is your first time listening, this is not our normal format for this show. We are thinking maybe about doing this kind of a format maybe once a month. But normally we do have a structured show. We don't normally have a completely open chat. It is live, but it's not normally this open. But yeah, so normally we do have a planned topic and not just wandering kind of aimlessly. But we thought it'd be kind of fun to do that tonight. If you're listening to the stream and you'd like to call in, it's 724-444-7444. And our talk cast ID is 7525. So, and our show notes, if you want to see this later, is at geocachingpodcast.info. Does anyone else have any milestones that they'd like to talk about on the show tonight? Just feel free to chime in right now. Or if you have any other topics, too, that you want to put into, we haven't talked about tonight. It's like I said, it's going to be a longer show than normal, and it's just going to be kind of whatever we feel like talking about geocaching related. So anyone have any milestones that they'd like to share?
Go ahead. I was going to say, Geek Boy here managed to cross the 650 boundary on the same day that Andy hit 200 finds. So.
Way to go.
Yeah, you're just a little bit in front of me.
You'll catch up in no time.
Maybe if it finally starts to warm up in our area here. But supposed to be, we've got a snow advisory tonight, so I don't think that's going to happen. Daryl, our next topic is caching trips. Do you want to have any plans this summer?
Oh, we got many plans this summer. Too many to probably actually do. For certain, we are going to go to Geo Woodstock out in California. It's right now just a matter of booking the flight and the hotel rooms and trying to figure out what we're going to do. You know, I'd like to do a couple of extra days out there because we haven't done any caching on the West Coast. So I can definitely go for some caching.
I haven't done any caching on the West Coast either. Last time I was out there, it was for a friend's wedding, and I didn't have my GPS along. I thought about bringing it, but I didn't bring it. So I've not done any out there either. So that would be cool. For us, we're planning to go to Midwest Geobash this year. We did. Anyone who's listened to the show long enough to know about last year knows that what happened last year. I was planning on going, and my cousin ended up getting married that same day, and so I could not go. So this year, I've got no cousins getting married that I know of. I think all my cousins are married, so I don't think that I'm actually, you know, I don't think that we're going to have any issues with that. So we should be good. So I it'd be good to meet you, Geek Boy. You say you're going to be at Midwest Geobash again?
Yeah, well, like I said, I can't beat the housing options for me there.
Yeah, that is true. I'm not that lucky. My parents live in central Indiana, so not quite where Midwest Geobash is at.
Yeah, well, I'll be staying about 10 miles away from the event again this year.
That's not too bad.
No, it's very tolerable.
Anybody else have any plans that they'd like to share as far as caching trips this summer? Go ahead and feel free just to chime in. Or if you're not on the phone and you want to just chat in with the just type it in. We'll go ahead and mention it. We'll try and mention it too. So go ahead and do that. Anybody else planning to make any trips this summer?
Actually, after Daryl and I come back from Geo Woodstock, I'm then going to turn around and with some friends of ours, we're going to be heading up to the UP. I'm probably going to be leaving Daryl behind and going on my own with them. So that should be interesting.
So you're going to do what Sandy just did to Sunny?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, some of us actually have to work to pay the bills.
Yeah, I hear that. Not all of us can make money off geocaching.
Yeah. Or podcasting,
yeah,
for that matter.
Or podcasting, yeah.
Well, QuickChick and I are going to be doing a few short trips over the summer, or spring, or even late winter. She's going to be going to a hand spinning seminar, so we're going to be doing some geocaching on the way to Troy and Beck, and sorry, not Troy, somewhere near there. But we'll also probably be doing some caching on our way to and from dog competitions over the summer.
Which Troy is that?
Near you.
Oh.
over in Michigan.
Ah, cool. Well, you have to drop us a line. Let us know when you're going to be in town.
Okay.
Yeah, we're actually going to try to also do another power trip or two this summer. I set goals lofty for my cache this year. My cache goals this year were going – I'm going to try to hit 200 caches, and that's huge for me because I almost had 100 caches last year. So for me to hit 200 of them, that's going to be double what I normally do. So that'll be interesting. Another thing that we're having issues – we're going to be trying this year, and I don't know if we're going to or not, but we're going to try to go through your area too, Daryl. I'm not sure if we're going to or not. We're trying to get up there for my wife's scrapbooking meet up there, but it may not work. Just depends on how much money we can save between now and then. But we're still trying to make it up there. So those are our plans as far as trips go this year for caching.
Yeah, if you can get out here, maybe we'll try to do a power caching half day or something while you're here.
Hey, that sounds good to me. Hey, but remember though, I'll have the kids, and so it'll be a little bit interesting to do power caching with Micah. Probably not Eli. Eli probably would stay with Julie, but
yeah. I imagine neither one of them would be too much into that many micros.
Yeah, but hey, I mean, we might be able to pull it off.
Hey, it's always worth a shot.
Anybody else have any? Anything that they want to put in as far as their caching plans this summer, go ahead and do that. Tell us. Anybody else?
Yep. It's John Frog 2002, and My whole family is planning on going on a trip out to Geo Woodstock, so we'll see you there, Daryl and Dree.
Yeah, very good.
We're going to take a two-week family vacation before that, hopefully hit quite a few caches while we're out there, hoping to hit probably about 500 at least on the whole trip.
That's going to be quite the effort.
Yeah. I got 2 weeks, so we're going all the way from San Diego to Sacramento, so quite a distance to get that in, so...
Yeah, definitely, and you know, if you're not doing a whole lot of other stuff, it shouldn't be a huge problem at all. It should be fairly easy.
Yeah, we've got at least 3-4 days planned just for caching.
Yeah, excellent. I wish we could do that much.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We're also going to do the Coin Fest in Pittsburgh.
Yes, can't forget the coins.
Dree and her coins.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, it will give us a chance to pick up a couple more states. You know, not that we'll do many caches on the way, but, you know, we got to hit at least one per state to, you know, get those states highlighted.
But most definitely more coins.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
I figure we're going to be coming back several pounds heavier than when we left.
And not in the belly either.
Now, do you guys, here's an interesting thought, too, and this is, I just want to know what other people think about this, is, like, when you're traveling like that, do you find that you do a lot of stopping and caching along the way, or how often do you normally stop and cache? Because for us, like, if we're traveling, usually I'll do a lot of caching, you know, in the destination where we're going, but not so much around, like, when we're on the way. Because unless it's like a maybe a rest area cache that we're already stopping at, it's hard, especially with the kids, to stop extra times that are, you know, are not necessarily needed, you know, for bathroom breaks, and get out of the car and cache. So what do you guys find when you're caching, like, or when you're traveling? Do you find that you do a lot of that caches on the way, or do you go out of your way? Like, if you're traveling on, like, an interstate, do you go off the interstate for caches very often, or how do you, what do you guys do?
Well, we do the caches along a route and only do it for, like, half a mile off the freeway. So if we see a huge cluster, we'll get off the freeway and do that. But usually it's just rest area caches. So the routes that we travel often, we don't stop very much. The routes that we haven't traveled, we end up making quite a few stops.
Yeah,
I'd have to say same here. We're going after a lot of the we've got a caching series down here, which from what I understand is pretty much nationwide now, the Cracker Barrel series, Off Your Rocker. And we're going after a couple of those. But sometimes I pull off and we'll see the restaurant's very busy, so we'll just go ahead and hop back on. But, yeah, just like Daryl says, only if they're within, like, half a mile of the interstate will we hop off. The rest of it's just rest areas.
I guess that I'm the crazy one here because I do at least a full mile off of it, and whenever we see one, we pull off and try and grab it.
So it takes you, like, a lot longer to get to your destination than the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. It took us about, if I'm right, 12 hours to get from Boise to Salt Lake, and it's about a 6-hour drive, so.
Yeah, I find
it. Have a lot of fun.
It's a little difficult with the kids, and if you're running, depending on if you're running late and if you're under a time constraint. You know, just this past weekend, we just made a day trip out to Lancaster. We had an event we had to go to, and I made the mistake of looking on GC.com. And I knew I was driving by caches and I couldn't stop for them. It was painful, you know, to go by them. But, you know, I do, you know, we try to work a couple in, you know, but I travel for business and, I usually get my, fix at least that way, getting some, you know, being able to do some while I'm, going to some new destinations and stuff. But oh, it's painful when you have to drive by them, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We actually did a stop at the Herbert Hoover Memorial Library on a trip to Iowa for a dog show, so that was a nice cache there as well.
Yeah, for us, usually, we just normally hit ones, you know, either rest of the ones that we're already stopping at or, you know, where we're at our destination. Just because it's with the kids, it's too hard to get out, so...
I've ran into some pretty nice rest area caches, though. Nice little where the little dog parks are and little pieces of woods, and found two really nice hides in rest areas that were kind of enjoyable.
Yeah, we actually had a number of really nice hides, anything from ammo cans to one was actually like a PVC vent pipe that wasn't supposed to be there, but, you know, it's a nice big vent pipe, like you'd see at like a landfill or, you know, something like that,
mm-hmm.
that you just pull it up and, you know, it's a cache.
Hmm.
Yeah, I actually found one rest stop that had two caches in it, so that was really cool.
There you go. You get more than one at a time.
Yeah, I want to say we had one that was big enough we actually had three caches in it.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot for rest stop caches. Here's another thing that I'm wondering. The people that place those caches, do you think that they're people who live close or work at the rest area, or just people who drive through, like, as far as maintenance goes? I wonder how often they're maintained.
Well, I know that some of the ones that we've hit on I-75, which is the major route from here north up through, like, Port Huron, or not Port Huron, to Mackinac City, a lot of those are the people who have cottages up that way, so, or hunting cabins or whatever. So they head that way, you know, at least once or twice a month, and they check on them fairly regularly.
And I think... I'm not sure. I mean, because there's not really any rest areas around our area, so I can't say, you know, I don't really know who owns them, because I don't really come into them very often, except for when I'm traveling, and I don't know those cashers then, so I really don't know.
Most of the ones around here are truckers that are actually cashers here in the local area, but they drive their trucks everywhere around here. They place caches wherever they can.
That's probably not a bad idea, but they seem to see a lot of good places to do that then.
Yeah, something to break up the monotony of that drive.
I know if I was a trucker, I'd probably do that.
Daryl, real quick. You know, it seems like in the past week or 2 weeks, I've heard you mention Port Huron twice. I don't know when the other time was, but I actually stayed there at the Edison Inn. I don't know, maybe back in 06. What a great place that was. I really enjoyed Port Huron. And since you mentioned it twice now, I thought, let me jump in there and tell you about it.
Yeah, well, the Edison Inn is right near the Blue Water Bridge, so you have a great view of all the ships going through there.
I did. I took a little video with my cell phone, actually, bringing it home for the kids of a really big ship going down through. It was really great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll see those ships going through very frequently. And a little further down, there's a little, it used to be a cement yard, but they've converted it now to a little park with an indoor viewing platform, all enclosed and everything. Coffee shop in there, and that's where we had one of the Coffee, Coins, and Cigs events. Is in there with all the freighters going by. And it was fun because every so often you'd see a bunch of the cashers go run out onto the outer deck to watch one of the ships go by and get some pictures.
Yeah, nice. That was my pre-caching day, so I didn't get to do any caching in the area. But I won't make that mistake again.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of quick caches in that area. A lot of them are some very intense puzzle caches.
But very well done too.
I like puzzle caches, especially if I'm gonna, like, I like them in my area. But it seems like not a lot of my caches in our area are good with puzzles. Like, I've got a puzzle cache, and there's a couple others that are around here, and they don't get hit very often at all, just because the people around here don't solve them very often. But you know, like, if I'm gonna go out to an area and I run my pocket query early and, you know, take a look or whatever, I love solving caches, puzzle caches. That's one of the things I like about geocaching is the puzzle caches.
Well, and one of the caches that we really enjoyed out there was called Picture This, I believe, Dree?
Pictor.
Pictor, that's right. Which was, they gave you a series of, I believe it was 9 images, and you had to run around the city. They gave you the center point. And all of the objects that they photographed were within, like, 500 feet of that center point. So you had to run around, try to find each of those, and then there was a question that you had to answer. So it would be something like a door. You had to find that door.
Oh, man.
And when you found that door, you know, you had to pick, like, the third number off the first line or something like that. And that was a blast because we got to run around Port Huron. We had been out there many times. We were with a friend of ours who went out there, at least once a month. And he hadn't ever really looked at the buildings or any of the surroundings like he had that day. And we found all kinds of cool stuff that we didn't even really know about.
That sounds almost like one of the caches here in Salt Lake. It's up in the up by the university, and they give you about 12 pictures, and it's spread out over about 3 city blocks. And if you don't know the area, you will have no clue trying to find it. We've tried it, and we gave up. It's a very residential area, so there's lots and lots of small streets that it could be off of. That one's just, that's a nightmare.
Now, here's another question. Speaking of caches, of just different caches, I hit a cache this week that we tried to hit a while ago. The reason we didn't get to it is because we were in the town on a Saturday, and it was actually inside of a business, and the business was closed on Saturday. Like, what do you guys think about that? Like, it was a good cache. I mean, it was good. I didn't have to pay to get the cache. I didn't have to pay to get into the building. It was a little bakery. And so all I had to do was go, go in and ask for the cache at the counter. And so it was good, but I did feel a little bit weird as I walked in, and the cache had not been open since last September. And so I went in, and I actually got a cup of coffee, and I said, do you have the cash? And I supposed to her, it probably sounded like I was, robbing her. But then she said, what? And I said, do you have the geocache? And she said, oh, yeah, now I got to find it. It hasn't been found. No one's come in for it and asked for it, since September. So I went and thought it. And it wasn't the person behind the counter that placed it. It's someone who comes in and frequents the bakery. So it wasn't like it was the bakery owner that put it out. So what do you guys think about that?
Well,
like,
actually, it's not allowed by GC, technically.
Technically, but, I mean, I've seen others like that, though.
Well, it was a recent rule change, about a year ago now, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that changed that rule. So there are some of them that are kind of grandfathered in, but you're not allowed to place new caches like that.
And that's probably, it's probably a good thing. Because I did feel kind of weird, like, walking in and asking. Because it technically, I didn't need to buy anything. And so it wasn't like I needed to, go in there and purchase anything to get the cash. But what's the difference between that and, like, a park that I have to pay for the fee, though?
Yeah, it's the commercial aspect that they're trying to eliminate, and I guess there's even some issues now with some of the parks that have admission fees that they're trying to ban from placing caches in those parks. I don't understand fully what's going on with that, but there were some questions at the Chicago Where I Go event for Jeremy about like zoos where there's admission fees. They're no longer allowing caches to be placed in zoos with admission fees.
See, and I don't know. Here's what I know about that. Like, I guess if it's up to you to choose that cache or not to go to it. It's just like anything else. When people say, I don't like LPCs or whatever, it's your choice to go hit that cache or not. And I understand why, they wouldn't want a cache in every business. Because then it becomes commercial and it's about the business. But, like, the zoo, I guess I'm okay with. Like, to me, they're going to be in there or not be in there. And it's one thing, I suppose, if the zoo people place it or if, a cacher places it and goes in. That's a different story, I guess, to me.
Yeah, my basic opinion on that is if it's a non-profit, particularly like the educational type institutions like zoos and, historical parks and those kind of things, I certainly don't have a problem with it. If it's land management where, you know, DNR, for instance, in this area, you have to pay a fee to get into the park.
Mm-hmm.
Why should that be a problem? It's a state park, you know, let them in.
Yeah, and I did notice that when we were up in your area. There was a park that I was going to hit, and there was, like, a bunch of caches in there, and then I realized I had to pay a fee, and I didn't have any, I didn't have any cash on me, so.
Yeah, that was one of the Oakland County parks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, there's a good one for us to hit when you come out here. We've got the sticker, so we'll all just drive in.
Nice.
But, yeah, there are some of those caches that I think are actually pretty good caches. For instance, in Windsor, Ontario, there's a cache that it's, what, 4 or 5 stages? Do you remember, Dree?
I think 5.
And the final stage is in the mayor's office.
Wow.
So you have to go in and ask for the cache from the mayor. He's not a geocacher, but he's a big supporter of geocaching.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and the geocaching community over there, yeah, there's not a whole lot of geocachers in the Windsor area, from what I can tell. There's a few of them that are fairly involved, but the geocachers in the area always do a CETO event. They did one of the old railways that's being turned into a rail trail. You know, it's not a rail trail yet, but they went in there and cleared out a ton of trash. You know, the mayor got them all kinds of press coverage, the whole thing. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does sound pretty cool. So, what do you guys want to see that's changing on GC? I know I'm going to make it a gripe fest, but I mean this is a roundtable coffee discussion or tea or whatever you're drinking. But so what would you like to see change on GC.com? Any ideas?
We have many ideas, more than a full show's worth of ideas. No, I think GC has been very good, and they're certainly working out the problems that they've had and addressing so much of that. But, you know, there's so many little things that would be nice features to have. You know, as much as I like using things like Mac hashing and GSAC, it would be so much nicer if I didn't have to use that. So if we could get some better options in the pocket queries, I'd find that really useful. You know, we've got the new communication with the Garmin GPSs. That's really cool. I'm anxious to play with that some more, especially with the Colorado, because I understand that that works even better on the Colorado. Yeah, we did a whole show on Cachers of the Roundtable about it, and we could rehash, I'm sure, a bunch of those ideas too.
Yeah. And I think that's why I said, you know, I don't want to get hugely into it, because I mean, I do appreciate what GroundSpeak is doing, and I think they're doing an awesome job. I've noticed, and a lot of people, you know, when something goes wrong, everyone complains about it. When it's going right, it seems like no one has anything to say about it. But I've noticed a lot recently, at least for me, that I've not got those application errors that we used to see all the time when trying to log caches or load pages or, you know, whatever, where the web page would not load. I've not seen those in a while, and so they must be stepping up their code or, you know, making it better and being able to servers be able to handle it. So I want to, you know, thank, I mean, that's a good, you know, if anyone from GroundSpeak is listening, I praise you guys for that, you know, because that is something that, you know, I do see improving, and that's awesome. You know, not a lot of people are willing to praise you when you're doing something right. So, you know, I think that's good. I think, you know, for me, what I'd like to see is an API, and I think that's been mentioned, you know, however many times, but I'd love to see an API. So some of us programmers can get, you know, our hands on some of the data. And I realize that, you know, that's something that lots of people have requested, and who knows, maybe we'll see it sometime. So that's my request, I guess. API, for anyone who doesn't know, is the application programming interface. So basically it's like other websites can grab some of the data off of GroundSpeak. So like instead of having to maybe go and download your pocket query of my finds and then upload it to, it's not about the numbers, you could just have, it's not about the numbers, pull your numbers from GroundSpeak. Right now that's called scraping, and they don't like it. So unless they have an API. So yeah, I would like to see an API.
There's one thing that I'd really like to see. A batch travel bug logger. There's so many times you go to events and you see hundreds and hundreds of travel bugs and geocoins, and you just pretty much paste the same message into most of them. It'd be nice to be able to do that just in a utility to where it does it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree with that, because I know when we go to events, because of geocoin that I had disappeared. And so ever since then, I will admit I've been very protective. My coins travel with us from event to event. And it's easy to drop them off. You can drop off the whole lot that you've got on you. But to pick them back up, I've got to go into each one individually. So even there, it'd be nice if there was some way to batch it, to just be able to grab everything that you grabbed. And I agree definitely on logging the other ones that you've seen at the event. Because I know at the events that my wife and I have had, we usually log about 50 to 100 coins and travel bugs at those events.
Yeah, and I'm looking for a way to batch activate coins, because when we go and activate, you know, even 10 coins, it's a really slow process.
That's why there's two of you.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's still slow.
And I must say, I realized this, like, talking to you guys recently, and this is not caching related, but I think Dree has a better memory than you, by the way, Daryl.
Yes, I do.
It always seems like you're always saying to her, like, was that cache? What was the name? And, like, right off the bat, like, she can name it and almost probably name the DC number off of it.
I wouldn't go that far.
I get confused very easily these days.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that GAM, you know, Google Assisted Memory.
Yeah.
Hence, I need an iPhone or something, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have a memory like some people. There's a gentleman near here. We actually interviewed him. He was one of the first episode of Cache Maniacs. And he's got an absolute fabulous memory. He can not only tell you what the name of the cache is, where it's at, but the GC and what the weather was like, and just about anything else you'd want to know about it. And he's Daryl, how many caches does he have?
Last I knew, it was like 2,600. Many of those first defines.
Yes.
Wow.
And he started not too long before Daryl and I.
Yeah, within a week or two, I think it was. Let's see.
Just a suggestion on the dropping off all the geocoins and trying to pick them back up. One thing that I've done and a lot of local cashers are starting to do is to put a travel bug on your geocoin book and then just drop that travel bug in. And then you can just track your miles on the book instead of having to individually drop and grab each and every geocoin or travel bug.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, if you have a book full of coins, you actually have a tag attached to it. You just say every coin that's in this tag is going to be at the event.
Uh-huh.
That's not a bad idea. I'm having issues. Like, I've got a coin that I use kind of for tracking, like, my miles in Indiana. It's an Indiana coin. And I'm having, even just when I do little, like, one or two or three caches, like, it's kind of a pain having to, you know, pick it out of my personal inventory. Because what I do, and this in a little bit, is I actually have an unactivated cache that I use for like, my home so I can get everything out of my inventory. And that's another request for me on geocaching, is I'd like to have a place that I don't need to drop my bugs off in an unactivated cache, you know, so I can get them out of my inventory. I'd like to have, like, a place that I can have an inventory but not have them on me. So I've got an unactivated cache. And so for me, if I visit one or two caches, I've got to go pick that bugger coin up out of my unactivated cache page, take it, drop it off, pick it up, drop it off, pick it up, drop it off, pick it up. I wish there was a way to somehow do that more easily, because then I end up also having a lot of logs, you know, drop, pick up, drop, pick up, drop, pick up logs on my tracking, you know, coin. And then that's okay. I mean, on my my caching. I mean, that's okay. That's my preference. I mean, I'm the one that's choosing to track my miles like that. So, but I would like to see a place where I can have my coins that aren't going to stay in my inventory, but are in my inventory, but not in my hand. You know, if you guys follow me.
Andy, to that point, and I'm sitting here thinking maybe this is what you said with that API or maybe not. You know, it'd be kind of neat if GC.com itself had some of the functionality that, you know, that runs your stats. If you're a premium member, I mean, you're already inputting the stuff in there. They already have the MyFinds data, the information there. It'd be neat if this stuff happened real time, you know, for your stats. And you could almost, you know, in that case, since you're logging the fines, if it would also have some functionality where it tracks your mileage automatically for each event you go to, where you could, you know, see it on a map if you wanted to. That'd be a neat improvement.
That would. And I guess I probably wouldn't need to track my miles like that, I guess, because I use a geocaching Swiss Army Knife macro that I, you know, use to get my stats. And that kind of has, you know, miles as far as my total miles and my best miles in like a weekend and stuff like that. But I guess as far as my, it's, you know, it's kind of neat to see, I guess, so that kind of works. So I guess I wouldn't need to drop the bug in like that.
Yeah, I use the GSAT stats too. I think they're awesome, the way that tracks. I'm just curious, you know, because it's still a separate process. I mean, you still have to run the query. You know, it'd be neat if that whole process was done kind of in the, you know, within the GC.com site. But I do like the way the GSAC runs the query. That's really cool.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing with GSAC too is the different macros that people have written, and that allows the community, and same with the API, that allows the community, that would allow the community to get out there and write programs and websites that is not necessarily responsible for Groundspeak to create, because Groundspeak is a really small operation. I mean, granted, they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of users, but their staff is really small, and so for them to do all that stuff is a huge deal. So it's great to be able to have. It would be great to have an API, but it is great to have, you know, people that can program GSAC and stuff like that to create those type of stats. No, that also brings me up to a topic too. What do you guys do with your coins? Do you keep them on you on your GC account, or do you create a fake account or a fake cash, or the cash that's not activated? What do you guys do with your coins? I'm talking more to the people like Dree, who has lots, you know, and lots of coins, or even, you know, people who have just a few. It's kind of annoying to keep those in your profile, especially or in your inventory, especially if you're not gonna, you know, move, or if you're not moving them.
Well, the coins in our collection we don't even activate, so those basically just stay in our boxes. The ones that we do activate and drop, we do keep in our profile, and every once in a while I will go through, at least I used to on my account, go through, and ones that were not moved for a while or that have been gone missing that I knew were gone missing, I adopted out to a fake account.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. For me, I like the icons. I'm an icon, you know, collector junkie, if you will. So I like having the icons on my profile. So I activate the coins. For me, I have, like I said, an unactivated cash, and I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't go out and create a cash on purpose just to do that. I created an event that I was gonna use, and then decided not to do the event, and so I had, you know, the unactivated cash page already. So that's what I did.
Dal and Dree, I'm looking at your profile right now, and I am amazed by the amount of trackables you own. Very impressive. I'm feeling kind of inadequate, actually.
Well, and don't forget that, quite frankly, a lot of those travelers aren't in this account. They're moved off to an old account.
Wow.
We still have a couple of hundred that have not been moved over yet.
So what does everybody else in the line do as far as, do you have trackables, lots of trackables? Do you keep them in your account? What do you do with them?
I've got about 20 or 30, and I usually put them into an unactivated cache. I, too, was going to do a cache series, and it turned out that about 7 out of the 8 that I was going to do were too close to other caches or had other problems with the reviewer. So I had like 7 caches. I said, well, I might as well use one of those to drop my geocoins in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. To give you guys a rough idea, we have about 210 bugs that have gone missing that we moved out of that account.
Oh.
Most of those are coins. So about 470 travelers that are still out there moving and 210 that have gone missing.
To answer the question that was just posed on our chat room, the Colorado stores all of the GPX data. It doesn't store all of it, does it, Daryl? Just some of it's there, or is it just doesn't display it? Correct.
Well, it takes the full GPX file, but it only displays the first few logs, and it doesn't show all of the detail that you can get out of the GPX files. But it displays most of the relevant information, like the cache type, difficulty, terrain, what travelers are in there, the long description, the short description. And I haven't figured out how it's determining the number of logs to show, but it's somewhere between like 5 and 10 logs that get shown.
Well, so it's showing 5 logs, and it's doing the same thing as my BlackBerry better face to geocaching.com, right? There's only 5 there. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, the WAP interface only shows 5 logs anyway, so.
Right, exactly.
Yes, exporting from GSAC, I'd send 10 logs out to the GPX file. And my last outing, I actually had between 5 and 10, but those caches only had that many logs on most of them.
Yeah, well, obviously it can't display more logs than the cache actually has. See, that's one of the features I'm hoping they'll add in, though. I want to see the future logs for the cache, too, so that I know, if I don't find it, was I just, looking in the wrong spot?
No, if you can find that cache, it's inside Area 51, I think that's where they're doing
that. Sorry, I didn't catch that. You were breaking up too much.
Yeah, I should probably tell you. But so if you can find that cache that's inside Area 51, you can probably get that time travel feature.
There you go. Now, that would be a fun place to go caching.
What? Landmine?
Daryl, I think we don't have any more necessarily written down topics. Does anyone else have any topics that they want to talk about for the cash or coffee here? If not, we'll go ahead and give a coin away, but wanted to see if anyone had any other topics.
Well, just one last thing from our last show that we did, Andy, 2 weeks ago. If you remember, during the after show chat, I had to run out because the first to find that it popped up in my area. Just a little update on that one. We wound up not finding it. When we got out there, we found out it doesn't show up on the GC map, but it turned out it was in a park and it was far enough in that I wasn't going to hop the fence and go after. We went after it the next day and still didn't find it. And it's finally been found, and it was posted that the coordinates were off by about 150 to 200 feet. And
wow.
So the cacher's gone back in and updated the coordinates. I have yet to go back after it.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with doing a first to find is you don't know if the cache is, in fact, where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you don't know that the coordinates are where they're supposed to be.
First offenders are beta testers.
Yeah.
Well, that and blood donors.
That too.
The mosquitoes were out like crazy that morning when we went back the second time to go find it, and the kids and I were getting eaten up alive by them. We searched for almost a full hour for that cache. And we had expanded the search radius out a good 100 feet from what I was recording as ground zero, and we still didn't find it, and we finally just gave up. The kids were whining because they were getting bit. I was slapping like crazy. And so we just said, fooey with this. The mosquitoes can have this cache. And then sure enough, a day later, somebody finally finds the thing and posts it. The coordinates were off by, as I said, about 150 to 200 feet. But I'll be going back after that one sometime. I just got to make sure I got all my blood back up by that time.
Yeah, I'm giving blood tomorrow, but I'm actually giving blood at the Red Cross. I'm not, you know, donating it to the mosquitoes. So, yeah.
That's the better way to give it.
Yeah, if they can find my vein. Usually they have a problem with finding my vein. So I'll Twitter if you guys want to follow me tomorrow. I'll Twitter and you can see if they can find my vein again. And anyone who doesn't know what Twitter is, it's just the kind of microblog thing. You can find me at twitter.com, twitter.com/xpunkx. Or if you want to follow the show, we have one for GC Podcast that will, you know, give you information about the show too. So if that's it, I want to give away this coin. So what I've done is I've put everyone who's been in the room, minus the guests 11 and 12, because I don't know who they are and they're not on anymore. 13, I have you in here because you're still in the room. You can type me who you are and how I can get a hold of you. So if you win, you'll, you know, just get a hold of me like that. But, I have everything in a spreadsheet. Daryl, how do you think I should do this? Should I have someone pick a number?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
All right. Why don't Montu pick a number from between 2 and 11 and let me know?
Okay.
I need polyhedral dice. If anyone wants to send me some, I'd be happy to have some so I can do this in a much easier way. So, and I'm not throwing a dart at my screen. That would be a bad idea.
Okay. All right, so you just want me to tell you the number right out loud?
Yeah, just go ahead and tell me a number.
Between 2 and 11. 6.
And that is Bass Chaz. So,
all right, Bass Chaz.
Woohoo!
Yay!
So Bass Chaz is not in the room anymore. So Bass Chaz, I'll go ahead and send you a PM and let you know, or an email and let you know that you won, and you can send me your address and I can get you this coin. So, yes, congratulations to everyone who were entered. And by entering, you just had to show up tonight. And you were entered. So, and be looking, because Geek Boy has donated a coin, and we will, and when I get it, we'll be figuring out some other way to get rid of it. So, and I it's always fun coming up with a contest. So it's not always very easy to do, but yeah. So make sure we do this thing every – well, not this thing. We don't quite do this whole cash for coffee thing every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's a little bit different. We normally have a topic to talk about, one straight topic. It's more of a podcast, but it is live, and we do have – you know, people can put their input in. So that's what – you know, make sure you join us because we love having people here. We love – when you join us live – it shapes the show. We don't normally do this coffee cacher thing, but we may start doing it, you know, every month or every other month, once a month. So if you guys like it, let me know. Send me some email. Send me some feedback on my geocaching profile. If you like it, if you don't like it, send me some information too. So we can decide if we want to do this again. But like I said, you know, we normally do a show every week. And yes, Geek Boy likes tripping me up while I'm talking. And he always tries to talk because I try to read while I'm talking on the chat. And if I'm in our chat, it's kind of hard to read and talk at the same time. And so, so yes, Geek Boy likes tripping me out when we do this. But yeah, no, it's no problem, Geek Boy. But yeah, we do this show every Tuesday. And if you want to join us, just make sure to join us. Our website is geocachingpodcast.info, and you can find our feeds and stuff like that. So with that, thanks for everybody for joining us tonight, and we'd love to hear from you. So join us Tuesday. And with that, keep on caching, and have a good week caching.